3 years ago, my family and I were in New York City spending 6 months of a sabbatical leave having a kind of urban mission experience. We lived on the Upper West Side, just practically across the street from Central Park, right near the Museum of Natural History, and we very much wanted to experience the reality of what it was like, even with small children, to live in the midst of a very remarkable city, which we would all recognize indeed that New York is. One of the most amazing and interesting things that happened to us in the time that we were there was the day of the New York City Marathon. We had a number of friends that were running in that marathon, and in fact, Barbara was stationed at one of the relief stations passing out water, and in her case particularly, bananas, which I gather if you're running a marathon somewhere around mile 18, you desperately want a banana. I think it has something to do with the potassium that your system very badly needs about mile 18. And the most remarkable thing was to stand at the finish line and watch these runners come across this line. Streams and streams of people. They first, of course, the winner or those who were immediately following him would come in little dabs and drips, and then the dabs and drips became a trickle of runners finishing, and then finally this great stream of people that would come across the finish line, weary and tired and beleaguered and badly in need of rest, and probably more bananas, too. But the thing that I noticed about those runners on that day was how different they were. If you've ever seen the New York City Marathon, it is a fairly famous event, and runners from all over the world seek to come and be a part of it. Even if you don't place or show or much less win, it would be considered the pinnacle of a runner's career, an amateur runner's career, to be able to run in the New York City Marathon. And so literally people come from all over the world. And the remarkable thing is to be at that finish line and to see that stream of people from every race, from every tribe, from every tongue on earth, virtually. Someday, as we just sang, we will stand in glory and we will see his face. And there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. When I stand in glory at the finish line of my life, I'm not going to be alone, and neither are you. There are going to be runners finishing the race from all over the world. There are going to be those who come from every conceivable background, from every tribe, from every nation. The word nation in the Greek New Testament is the word ethne, from which we get the English word ethnic or ethnic group. There will be people there like us. They may finish the race in button-down collars and nice-looking ties, pretty dresses. And there will be people there unlike us, who have no shoes to wear in their race, who don't have fine things to wear, no fine running costumes for them. But they will be in the race, and they will finish the race with us, and they will be a part of what it means to stand before the Lord, every tribe, every tongue. One of the things that we need to know about communion is that it is not only communion with the Lord, it is communion with one another. As the Westminster Confession of Faith put it in what we just said, finally, the Lord's Supper is a bond and pledge of believers' communion with Jesus and with each other as members of his mystical body. And I wonder this morning if you recognize that you are part of a mystical body. Now, when the Confession of Faith says it's a mystical body, what it means is that it's more than just the body of believers gathered at Park City's Presbyterian Church. Because we're not mystical. We're here. And we can see each other this morning. But the mystical body of believers are those who right now are perhaps taking the bread and the cup in Southeast Asia, or in Sri Lanka, or in Uganda, or in Japan, or Moscow, or Mexico City. The mystical body of believers are all those not only who are taking the communion cup this morning and demonstrating that they are one with Jesus this morning and therefore one with believers everywhere in the world, but the mystical communion of God's people includes those in every time and every place. So that it includes the saints that have gone before us. So there's perhaps in some way that is indeed mystical and has a certain mystery about it. A serf from the 12th century in a little town in France kneeling before a Catholic altar to take the Lord's Supper. And there is perhaps a great king from some African tribe in the 10th century who has come to know Christ and takes the bread in his ebony hand and puts it to his black lips. We are united with all those who name the name of Jesus in every time and in every place. And it is our privilege as God's people in this time and this place to seek ways in which this mystical union is expressed tangibly and concretely and specifically for wherever and however the body of Christ can manifest its unity with one another, it must do so, for the Lord tells us that the world is watching us. And the world is given the right, the Lord tells us in his great high priestly prayer in John 17, to judge whether or not God the Father sent God the Son on the basis of what the world observes in our relationships with one another. And so Jesus prays in that prayer, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one, that the world may know that you did send me into the world. That is a remarkably scandalous prayer that Jesus gives the pagan, non-Christian, unbelieving world the right to evaluate whether the gospel is true. That is, whether God the Father sent God the Son. The gospel gives them the right to evaluate the veracity of the gospel based on what they see in our relationships in the body of Christ. That's what the Lord is saying. And I don't know about you, but when it comes time for confession in a few moments, I will have to confess that I do not always demonstrate the unity that I should with my brothers and sisters in this church even, let alone in the worldwide church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is our privilege, even in our own midst, in our church, to have concrete ways we can identify with those that are different than us. And I'm thinking of our dear Asian brothers and sisters who are here worshiping with us this morning as part of our congregation. They're members of PCPC. They share a common, like, precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have numerous ways in our church of being involved in their lives For example, our church, under the direction of Allison White on our staff, is starting the East Dallas Asian Ministry on February 15th. A ministry in East Dallas to junior high school kids and for tutoring and adult Bible studies and a girls' youth Bible study. Especially young men, males, are needed to help teach some of the young fellas in this study. We're going to have our first Southeast Asian Christian wedding in this building in just a few weeks' time. Bob Nielsen is going to perform the service. There are adult Bible studies that are led for our Asian friends. There's English classes. Beth Samuelson and Georgia Settle have been taking over some of those classes, and others are needed to help teach English to Asian people who want to learn English and also want to learn something about the Lord. There's an after-school program that we run on Mondays for kids K through third grade. We very much need volunteers who are willing to demonstrate the unity of the body of Christ in Dallas as we minister to some of these Asian kids. There's a group called Young Lives for Christ, a bi-monthly meeting to young girls in Southeast Dallas. Just this past Friday night, Alexis Fink and Hillary Parker, two of our high school girls in our church, ministered to their counterparts in East Dallas, talking about dating and social life issues. One day, we will not just take communion at a church service that lasts an hour. One day, we will sit down at what is described in the Bible as the marriage feast of the Lamb. And it's going to be a wonderful supper as the celebration goes on of the marriage between Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. And around that table will be all kinds of people. Around that table will be runners who have just finished their race. Around that table will be people who aren't like us, but with whom we are one in the Lord Jesus. And at that supper, at one point, we will stand to sing to the glory of the Lord. We will stand to sing, looking to the throne of grace where the Lord Jesus sits. And the voices will peal out, and the song will be in many languages to the praise of a holy God who is indeed holy, 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 who is indeed God Almighty, and who is indeed worshiped by myriads and myriads who know the Lord Jesus Christ.